Blog Talk Radio.
Hi.
Singer, songwriter, publisher, maker of videos, album cover designer, musician, and writer of books, intellectual. Here is Dr. Dove Knight.
Hi, my name is Dove Knight. Well, I like to be down to earth. I don't call myself a doctor, even though I have a doctorate degree. So let's just leave it there. Actually, this is an opportune time to be for me to be doing this. Because as you know, I did so many podcasts. So many. I made a promise to do this podcast, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago. So I'll get quick to it. You know, well, actually, it's two things. State of my affairs. I know I do a lot of podcasts on the show. I really talk about my music because I came to LA to be in the entertainment industry, to be professional, make my dream come true. And it's been an eventful, sometimes, you know, up and down story. But even though I haven't achieved what I want, I'm progressing and I'm becoming more aware of who I am. And as an artist and as an intellectual, I talk about so many things. So, but, you know, sometimes I know because I can listen to myself. I listen to how I talk. I come off as eccentric. Sometimes I come off as real clear or whatever. But that's the way it goes. It's, you know, the most important thing I would say is I communicate. First of all, I want to talk about, this is a topic I've been talking about. I've written a book about one of the main characters in the story of the French Revolution. And, you know, everybody knows about the French Revolution, you know, from great children to adults. And it's still being studied to some extent. I've written a book about this. I've written this book a long time ago about Marie Antoinette, who was a major figure in the French Revolution. And I'm going to correlate that to her story, but also to the story itself. It's going to be brief because there's so many books and so many stories. You can go on History Channel. You can learn all about the French Revolution. It's really pivotal in American history because what happened is that was a changing. You know, it was a time where situations as far as governments and the way, you know, people lived, there was, you know, it was forever changed by the French Revolution because before it was the Axian regime, which was, you know, people lived by, you know, especially in Europe, because Europe was the focal point of power in those days. But, you know, they lived by a king or queen, you know, absolute power. And there were levels of status within kingdoms like London, France, and so on. And everything revolved around the king. So the absolute power and how that was how governments were made of in those days, you know. The Axian regime was built, you know, religiously that way. And there was a pope. There were popes too, who had a lot of power. And I will say the political and social system, you know, it involved a lot of, you know, people at the bottom to the top. And the absolute monarchy, you know, the sad thing about it was, you know, the peasants or the people at the bottom, particularly in Europe, the farmers, didn't have rights, you know, it was the belief system that their life was you know, was to be in, where they are, you know, their lower status. Whereas the status of the king is, they were anointed by God to be in that situation, to have more and to live in luxury. And the peasants work hard and everybody else at the top prosper. And also the other part of the Axiom regime, you could just read up about it, some of the story, was the churches. The churches were, you know, were very important. So the high church, again, the popes and the kings were at the top of the of this Axiom regime. And, you know, it was just, particularly in France, it was inequality. So a lot of people suffered and lived very poorly, but that was their status. And then whereas the nobility and the clergy lived in luxury. But the French Revolution changed everything, because it was like people started to believe that they, you know, but, you know, that the idea of an absolute monarchy was not relevant in, you know, the French people, particularly the peasants and people at the bottom, overturned the king and made a republic. But in the thing about the French Revolution, if you want to know more about it, just read up about it. There's so many stories about it. I've written a book about one of the main characters, infamous characters, Marie Antoinette. But I still don't understand why in some ways they talk about her so much, because, you know, it was a lot of inequality in those days, you know, particularly with women. You know, the queen is very powerful, you know, second in power, but I guess perhaps she was, you know, the reason why they talk about it, because she was seen as the stronger one, whereas her husband was seen as weak. And that was the reason, you know, she took over the monarchy at times, and her husband didn't have the, you said, the will of a king, the perception. But the truth is that if you read up about it, the French Revolution really started before Marie Antoinette and King Louis XVI went into power in 1774, because there were many, you know, it was really the Rhine before, which started the French Revolution. I would say there was a lot of debts that the monarchy had, you know, with, you know, King Louis XV. There were a lot of debts that France incurred, and also what really put France's finances in trouble was the war. You know, there were wars before the time of Marie Antoinette. You know, there were, France was fighting with England and, you know, in other countries. The Habsburgs, you know, there was a lot of fighting with wars, Russia. And in particular, there was a war a war which put France in debt, and France lost their world power. I think in the 1750s, and England became the most powerful country in the world. But it was going back and forth. You know, I won't say that, but it was like, really put France in trouble was the war, I think, in the 18th century. So, you know, it was, France was already in debt by that time, by the time of 1770 and 1774, they were, it was still a very, it was second most powerful country in the world. But it was, it was a real struggle. But things got worse because of, the truth is that after, you know, King Louis the 15th died in 1774, and Marie Antoinette and King Louis became the new monarchy, their lack of experience in running a country and Marie Antoinette's extravagance played a role. But the truth is, you know, if you really think about how much money and debt they had, what the royal family spent, while they spent a lot, was a very small percentage. Because the truth is, it was the American Revolution that really put France in deep debt. Because King Louis gave billions of dollars to America for America, for the American Revolution. And the American Revolution was pivotal in this because the French people saw America win the war against England. And after that, you know, the idea of a republic started to begin. But also, you know, the nobility, the royalty, the royal members of the royal family had not acted, did not make good moves in dealing with the situation with their finances, because they got, you know, they've given bad advice by Necker and others to keep spending and spending and spending. So when I talk about Marie Antoinette, a lot of people blamed her for the war, but the truth is, it was really started before. It was really before. I mean, France was already in debt way before. So I don't think it was them alone. I just think they made bad decisions. And they kept spending and spending, being given bad advice, and refusing to pay taxes and not wanting to change, which led to their demise. And if you're a king or queen or running a government, you had to, you know, work with the people to stay afloat. And I think with her, I think, yes, it's true. They were callous to an extent. I did write about that in the book. You can see she spent a lot. Yes, homes and stuff. Yes, she deserves blame for it. But it was organized effort. All the members of the royal family were acting that way. There was a coldness toward, you know, the people at the bottom as things got tighter. And they kept living like they were, you know, living in luxury where they should have changed. And they did make changes. They did try to make some changes, but it was too late. And I think that they made some bad missteps, you know. So Marie Antoinette, what I would describe her as, not somebody who's, you know, somebody who was thrust, you know, somebody who was thrust in a situation without a lot of experience. They did have evidence of her giving, you know, stuff to peasants and try to accommodate some of the poor people of France in those days. But the truth is, she was intent on staying rich and staying at the top with her husband. And I they said, you know, everybody knows she didn't say let them eat cake, but she did have the coldness of being rich. But she wasn't as bad as the perception is. She was just misguided. And also they made bad decisions, you know, bad decisions. When you're working with people in government, a control of a country, you know, you have to, you know, compromise, and, you know, when it comes to changes, you know, you make changes. That's what the good leaders do, because if they want to stay in power, they have to make changes with their people. And their refusal to make changes led to the guillotine. So that's it with the French Revolution. I did say that there were really a war in the 18th century that was pivotal to why France went into decline financially. You know, it really was pivotal to what happened in the French Revolution. But I also think that King Louis, you know, King Louis the 16th didn't want to be king, and was not equipped practically to handle being king. So I think because of that, and Marie, the image that Marie Antoinette had, and their refusal to make changes at the right place at the right time. See, there's changes you have to make. You know, leadership, you know, running a country, you have to accommodate, deal with the people. And I don't think that they, made the right changes. Unfortunately, because of, you know, living, you know, kept spending money, the world kept spending money at a time where people were starving and dying, that portrayal of being cold and so on lasts throughout. Her legacy will be quite tarnished indefinitely because of it. The reason, I think, because she had more, you know, she was more authoritative, and she took over the monarchy because her husband was not equipped to deal with it. If you read up on the French Revolution, you will see that the Axian regime, where it's the absolute power, ended. And you will see that many countries in Europe, like Russia, the Russian Revolution, South America, Asia, several countries, they overthrew their, you know, kings and czars and monarchs in similar fashion, being influenced by the French Revolution. So let's start republics and dictatorships and stuff. And what we see now is the republics for the last 200 years with America, that became more common, particularly after when the French Revolution happened. And the French Revolution also permanently altered France's status in the world as a leading world power, as far as like being number one, the focal point. But France regained its power. It did regain its power, and, well, you know, still is a leading force in the world. But it had so much power in those days because Versailles and Paris was a real focal point. But, you know, it's an interesting tale. I just don't think the royal family, particularly Marie Antoinette, refused to compromise and knew how to deal with the people, that they rule. And I think if they had compromised and just kept with just went along and just made it a more modern monarchy, just went along and just went along with the idea of a republic, they would have probably stayed as monarchs. Or, that might have been the case, but trying to escape in 1791 really forever ended that. But at the same time, they were so brutal, some of what they did, cutting people's heads off, and the horrific incidents of the French Revolution went way beyond anyone could predict. I mean, it was just so much poverty and lack of a cohesive government and a lack of a real leader to keep the government together. But that's what the king's job is for.
So if you don't have a king, or someone who's a king who's lacking power in the monarchy, particularly when we're internet spending and out of touch with what's going on with their country, and just going on spending and living good while more and more people are starving, then that's where a revolution begins. But again, I think it really started before with Louis the 15th. I think he accumulated a lot of debt during his reign. And I noticed that I haven't said the war right before, right in the middle of, I think in the 1750s, even George Washington, it was, in fact, in America, England, I think, England was control of America during that war. I'm really trying to think of it. It was before the American Revolution. So if I can't remember it, you'll find out if you just look on how the French Revolution ended up. Because France, the monarchy, it's the Seven Years' War. The Seven Years' War is when France accumulated a lot of debt and lost land, and they lost countries to Great Britain. Before the Seven Years' War, France was in great shape. Lots of dough. I mean, their economy was going really well. They were going, doing really well, but the Seven Years' War, France had a lot of debt. And by the time Louis the 15th died, he was an unpopular king, and there was so much debt that France had. But they had the wrong rulers. The wrong rulers at the wrong time. Marie Antoinette and Louis the 16th made some bad decisions. Not having a child at the right time. And the extravagance, refusing to compromise with the people of France, in changing the absolute power, and they made some bad decisions. They even made bad decisions trying to escape, because the truth is, they tried to escape France and go to Austria in 1791, and the king made a bad decision to stay where they were. If he had left at the time that he decided, when they were, they could have escaped. So they made a lot of missteps, not only in escaping, but in dealing with the people of that country. So that's what the French Revolution is all about. And because of that, France was an enormous power at that time. I think number one in the world. And then the Seven Years' War, they lost a lot of land and debt, and they went further in debt with the American Revolution. But this is what I want to say about this. It was so much inequality, and that was the problem. When you have so many peasants, people poor, dying for starvation, and you have a king and queen or prince or, members of the military or very wealthy people living good, but there wasn't that many rich people who were living good. It was a lot of peasants and the coldness toward the poor. And Marie Antoinette did demonstrate callousness, but I would say they were just not aware and did not know how to rule. And not know how to rule ended France. The French Axian regime, where the king and queen was the center of everything and everybody else was second. But you can look at other wars, like the Russian Revolution in 1917, and you can look at wars and overthrow in South America, in Europe, and see similarities.
All I can say is that the lesson is if a country wants to stay afloat and keep a country stable, you got to have a decent president. And I will also say, you know, karma does come back. If you forget about, if you don't take care of your people that you rule, then they can come back. Come back to haunt you, you know. Do unto others, others does to you. That's why it's important in America right now that we elect a stable leader. Keep a stable leader in power. Can't have no crazies and can't have no one who has the inability to stabilize the economy and to deal with people. So that's why it's important to look at it that way. Someone who's charismatic does not mean that they're right for government. That's my thing. Another thing about that time is that the inequality in France, how many poor people just suffered, and people at the top just live in luxury, really showed how twisted everything was. But if you look at America at that time in the 18th century, when they got their freedom from England, in 1778, it was inequality there. You know, you have to be white, heterosexual, male, wealthy, really want, and rich, you know, a planter or a lawyer in the North or the South, you know, the 13 colonies had power. So anybody who was poor, anybody who was black or white, anybody who was black, anybody who was a woman, they didn't have rights. So this really how, freedom. You know, it was so, you know, it was twisted. But you can look across across the pond, across the ocean to look at France. In France, slavery was, slavery wasn't the same way. In fact, I think they ended slavery. Just pretty interesting because there were so many poor people. And I think that hopefully a lesson can be learned that future leaders, that includes people who have monarchies, or as we have a democratic government with a president, Congress, rule with the people and really treat people fairly. And government should be for the people, by the people. So that's a good lesson to be learned because the Axiom regime was all about the king, or queen. And they have absolute power, and that was it. So that was the end of that era. I read a book about Marie Antoinette because I think the focal point of why she was the center of that, of hatred, more so than her husband, is because, I think it was sexism, because sexism ran rampant there. She was more authoritative, able to make decisions than her husband, and she took over the monarchy because her husband, again, was weak mentally. He didn't have the... his grandfather, Louis the 15th, gave him the skills or taught him how, training to be king. So that's the problem. And look what happened with the Russian Revolution. The Tsar, who was overthrown, didn't want to be a Tsar or ruler of Russia either. He didn't possess the skills to be king or Tsar. So it's important that we elect people who have the skills to, or the experience or the knowledge, especially how to rule. We can't elect criminals. We can't elect crazy people. We need stability. And in France's case, it's just people who were inexperienced and made bad decisions for themselves, which cost them their head. Good day, good night for Dove Night. And buy my book, Marie Antoinette. Last thing, I've written a book about also the homes, because it's really interesting, Helma Lorraine and Petit Trianon. She bought a lot of houses, but again,
the interesting thing about the home, the home of the rain, was for her to escape. Then you want to be king or queen. You cannot. You can't have a private life. I think the situation with that is the king and queen were on a microscope, and they had to be for the people. And running away from responsibilities and just enjoying life and spending is not the way to live, as you know, to work, you know, to run a country. But you know, she spent, you know, it was interesting about Petit Trian and Hymn of the Rain, and it's really interesting. So again, as I said before, I think the French Revolution minimized France's power from being the top, and it also changed the modernization. It brought in the modernization of the Republic, of living in a democratic society. Good day, good night from Dub Knight. Mm-hmm.